أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, has gathered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Today, continuing with our fiqh in the book from Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, Ad-Durur al-Bahiyya with the Adillat al-Radiyya by Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, we come to what Imam al-Shawkani calls Al-Bab al-Khamis, Bab al-Ghusl. Al-Fasl al-Awwal, Mata yajibu al-Ghusl. يجب بخروج المني بشهوة ولو بتفكر وبالتقاء الختانين وبانقطاع الحيض وبالنفاس وبالاحتلام مع وجود بلل وبالموت وبالإسلام. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says here the fifth chapter, the chapter of al-ghusl, and the first section, what things that if we did them makes it compulsory for us to make a ghusl. And Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he begins by saying it's compulsory to make a ghusl when sperm comes out with a desire, or even by simply thinking, and when the two circumcised parts touch one another, and when the menstrual cycle is over, and when the afterbirth bleeding is over, and with a dream, a wet dream, if there's the type of fluid that he sees after a wet dream, and when a person dies, and when a person accepts Islam. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah in this chapter is showing us the things that if they take place, then it becomes compulsory on us to make a ghusl. And those things are, as Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he begins with the fluid coming out, sperm, and also the lady's fluid, if it comes out by a desire or by simply the thought. If the fluid comes out, then it's compulsory to make a ghusl, as we see from this hadith collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah and Ibn Majah, and it's authentic. An Aliyin radiyallahu anhu qala, سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن المذي فقال من المذي الوضوء ومن المني الغسل. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه, he says, I asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about المذي, and المذي is the, I think they call it the pre-seminal fluid. Before a man ejaculates, if he's aroused or whatever, he has a clear, thin, slimy type of fluid that comes out. Maybe he notices it or he doesn't notice it. This is called the mezyu. And it's not the sperm, but it comes out before the sperm. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, concerning this mezyu, then you have to make a wudu. And we had explained earlier that you have to wash your private part. Or we're going to explain, inshallah, that you have to wipe your private part and the area where the mezyu is. And then you make a wudu, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam explained in other narrations. And he said, and from the mani, or the fluid that comes out from the man and the lady, that they have to make a ghusl. So here we see from this hadith of At-Tirmidhi that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is showing that when this fluid comes out, then it's compulsory on us to make a ghusl, and this is both for the men and the women. And we have mentioned oftentimes in some of the classes before that some of the ulama, like Imam An-Nawi rahimahullah, he said that these women, they have fluid just like the men. And even when it came to the issue of the wet dreams, that the women might have more wet dreams than the men have. So when this fluid comes out of the men and it's the thick sperm that everybody knows, and the lady's fluid is a little yellowish and then it becomes compulsory on them to make a ghusl. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and when the two circumcised parts touch, it becomes compulsory to make a ghusl. And Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, when he's talking about the two circumcised parts touching one another, then he's referring to having intercourse. And this is just a way that some of the ulama speak in order to refer to the act that we know as sexual intercourse, or a man making love to his wife. When this takes place, then it becomes compulsory on the man and the lady to make a ghusl. And we see this from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا جلس بين شعبها الأربع ثم جهدها فقد وجب الغسل. وفي رواية لمسلم قال وإن لم ينزل. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, when a man sits between the lady's four parts and he exerts himself, then it becomes compulsory on him to make a ghusl. And in the narration of Imam Muslim, even if he doesn't ejaculate. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is making it clear that when the intercourse takes place, whether there's ejaculation or not, that it becomes compulsory on both parties to make a ghusl, as Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah is explaining. This statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, when he sits between her four parts, some of the ulama differ what is the four parts, and it might be okay just to mention some of their statements. As they say, the four parts are her two hands and her two legs, meaning when you get on top of her. And this is just a nice way to say intercourse, or by other words to say having intercourse with her. Some of the ulama, they say that this refers to the two legs and the, what do they call that word again? Libya or something. The two lips that the women have there at that private area. Some of the ulama had even said, and they said that the private area itself has four parts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best if he's referring to those two lips and the clitoris and then the actual vagina area. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But this is the language that refers to having intercourse with one's wife. So here, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam makes it very clear that if you have relations with your wives, that whether you ejaculate or not, that it is compulsory to have a ghusl. So the first point was, at ejaculation you have to make a ghusl because the fluid comes out. And here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us whether the fluid comes out or not. If you have this act, then it becomes compulsory to make a ghusl. The next point that Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah he brings is when the lady's menstrual cycle is over. And we can see this in the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 222. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطَهُرْنَ فَإِذَا فَطَهَرْنَ فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us that they ask you concerning the menstrual cycle. Allah says they ask you concerning the menstrual cycle, meaning they ask you, Ya Rasulullah, about the verdicts pertaining to the menstrual cycle. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say. And we see this in a few places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they ask you concerning such and such, say to them such and such. And this is only a proof of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, that he does not speak on his own desires, that he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he came to bring this deen of al-Islam to humanity, that he wasn't speaking on his own desires. And we see here clearly that at times when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was asked questions that he didn't answer, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him either by the, through the Quran or by revelation, so that he can answer the questions that he was asked by the people. And this is why in our classes we try point by point to bring the ayah and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to deal with all of our topics, because we know that this deen is based on the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allah told him to say, say, it is a harm, so stay away from the women during their menstrual cycles. This stay away from the women means to stay away from having relations with them. That doesn't mean with the understanding of the Jews, meaning stay away from them, don't go to their houses. Oh, my wife's on a menstrual cycle, so I'm staying in the hotel for 3 days or 5 days or what have you. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is meaning when he says stay away from your women during the menstrual cycle, meaning don't have intercourse with them. And we're going to come to this point in the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, which means do whatever you like to them during their menstrual cycle except having sex. So here even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't meaning that you can't hug them or kiss them or subhanAllah even grind with them, so long as you stay away from the actual intercourse. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to when he says, and stay away from the women during their menstrual cycle. And don't go near them until they purify themselves, meaning until they make the ghusl. And this shows that the women make the ghusl after their menstrual cycle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is finishing off this ayah. And when they purify themselves, meaning when they take the, when they make this ghusl after their menstrual cycles, then approach them or have relations to them the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. And I think we remember the explanation of this verse when we had our talk making love on the sunnah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the mercy and the love in the hearts of the men and the women, and he is the one that encouraged us to make love to our partners, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We also see from the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت جاءت فاطمة بنت أبي حبيش إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إني امرأة أستحاض فلا أطهر أفأدع الصلاة؟ فقال لا, إنما ذلك عرق وليس بالحيضة, فإذا أقبلت الحيضة فدعي الصلاة, وإذا أدبر فاغسلي عنك الدم وصلي. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in this hadith of Al-Bukhari Muslim, she says that Fatima, the daughter of Abu Hubaysh, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah, I'm a lady that has I'm a lady that's mustahaba, this lady that has blood coming out after her menstrual cycle. Should I not make salat until I'm pure?" Meaning until this blood stops. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, this is only from a vein, and this is not your menstrual cycle. So when the menstrual cycle comes, do not make the salat. And then when it's over with, make a ghusl and wipe away the blood," meaning from this blood that comes, continues for the days after the menstrual cycle, "and then make the salat." So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is showing us that the women cannot make the salat during their menstrual cycle, and that they have to make a ghusl in order to resume making the salat. And this shows that the ghusl is compulsory on the women when their menstrual cycles are over. And as far as this issue of the women and their menstrual cycles, then the chapter is coming, and the chapter of purifications, inshallah ta'ala, Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah. And then we're going to go into more of the verdicts pertaining to the menstrual cycles, inshallah ta'ala. But now we just wanted to see the point that when the menstrual cycle is over with, then it is compulsory on the women to make a ghusl and then to resume the salat. As far as the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, after the post-birth bleeding, when the lady delivers the child and then she has that bleeding for 4 weeks or 5 weeks or what have you, the ulama all agree that during this time of the post-birth bleeding, that the same verdicts that apply to the menstrual cycle apply to this post-birth bleeding. And the ulama, they all agree upon this. And there's no difference of opinion, inshallah ta'ala, that the post-birth bleeding takes the same verdict of the menstrual cycle. So likewise, it's compulsory for the women after this bleeding, after delivering a child, that is compulsory on her to make a ghusl before she begins making the salah again. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, from a wet dream if you see the fluid. And this is from the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahullah, an Ummi Salama, أنها قالت جاء أم سليم امرأة أبي طلحة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إن الله لا يستحيي من الحق هل على المرأة من غسل إذا هي احتملت فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم إذا رأت الماء. أم سلمة رضي الله عنها, she said that أم سليم, the wife of Abu Talha radiallahu anhuma, came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, "O Messenger of Allah, Allah is not shy from the truth. Does a lady have to make a ghusl if she has a wet dream?" And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, if she sees the fluid." So here we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that even for the women, if they have a wet dream and they see this fluid, and the fluid of the women is a yellowish, thin type of fluid, and then the man's fluid is thick and clear, as we know, that whoever has a wet dream and the fluid comes out, then it is compulsory on them to make a ghusl. Sometimes you have a wet, sometimes you have a dream as if you have relations with someone, but nothing actually came out. If nothing comes out and you don't see any fluid when you wake up, then it's not upon you to make a ghusl. It's upon you to make the ghusl if you wake up and you find that the fluid is there from the wet dream. And this is for the men and the women. And we have reminded, or we had mentioned, that Imam An-Nawi rahimahullah, he said that the women have more wet dreams than the men. And I was saying that it was surprising to me, as this may be something not known to the men, that the women actually have wet dreams. And we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. But we also see from this hadith, and this is the topic that we've been handling for the past couple of weeks in the Aqidah class, the virtues of the Salaf and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in particular. And that we were mentioning last week, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who chose them to be the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And they were the first people to practice this deen of al-Islam. Because what had taken place with them, we see that the verdicts of this deen were explained and then passed on to us, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And we see that if we want to practice this deen, then we have to go back to the first generation that was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to see how they practiced this guidance from the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from his deeds, in order that we can practice the way that they practiced, inshaAllah ta'ala, wa radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and at death it becomes compulsory to take a ghusl. And that isn't that the dead person is going to make a ghusl, but that the Muslims will have to wash his body at the time of his death. And we see this in the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahullah, عن أم عطية الأنصارية رضي الله عنها قالت دخل علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين توفيت ابنته فقال ابسلنها ثلاثا أو خمسا أو أكثر من ذلك إن رأيتن ذلك بماء وسدر واجعلن في الآخرة كافورا أو شيئا من كافور فإذا فرغتن فآذنني فلما فرغنا آذناه فأعطاناه حقوة فقال أشعر لها إياه تعني إزاره. أم عطية الأنصارية رضي الله عنها, she said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم entered upon us at the time that his daughter died, and he said, wash her three times or five times or more than that, however you see fit, with water and sidr. And I don't know what sidr is, something that they mix with water to clean the body. And then for the last time, use a little kafur. And I don't know what they call that in English either, but it's camphor, to give a little scent. So when you finish, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is talking to them, and when you women finish, then give me the permission to do what I have to do. So when they finish, they permitted the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he gave them his izar, and then he told them sallallahu alayhi wasallam to let her put this on. So we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that when a person dies, then it's compulsory that the body be washed, and this is the ghusl. And then there are many hadith relating to this issue, and we said that we were being brief to cover inshallah ta'ala the points pertaining to fiqh, so that we understand the verdict. And inshallah ta'ala, as we go on and some of the points need more clarification, like this point, then we'll try to clarify a little more inshallah when we come to the book of Janaiz inshallah ta'ala. But for now, we want to see the point that at the time of death, then it's compulsory that the body be washed with the ghusl, as we see in this example of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, when the person accepts Islam. And this is from the hadith of Imam al-Nasa'i and Abu Dawood and others. عن قيس بن عاصم رضي الله عنه قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أريد الإسلام فأمرني أن أغتسل بماء وسدر. And this hadith is Hassan inshallah ta'ala, where قيس بن عاصم رضي الله عنه, he said that I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and I wanted to accept Islam, and he commanded me to make a ghusl with water and sidr. So here we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the one who accepts Islam, it's compulsory on him to make a ghusl. And this is for all of us, as all of the Muslims must know at least this verdict, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to call the people to this deen of al-Islam, So if we're on, if we're at work, or if we're in the supermarket, or if we're in the stores, or if we're at the toll booth or in front of the masjid in the park lot, or wherever we are, and someone wants to accept Islam, then we have to call them to this deen, to the truth, and tell them to go home and make a ghusl and come back to the masjid and to establish the salat with the Muslims. So this is the first section of the chapter of ghusl by Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, and this is the basic explanation and the evidences for his statement. It is compulsory to make a ghusl when the fluid comes out, sperm for the man and the fluid of the lady, with a desire or even by simply thinking. So long as the fluid comes out, then it's compulsory to make a ghusl. If a man has relations with his wife, then it's compulsory on both of them to make a ghusl. This is whether he reaches his peak or not. It's compulsory on him to make a ghusl. So long as he enters her and exerts himself, he has to make a ghusl, even if he doesn't ejaculate, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had explained. It's compulsory on the women to take a ghusl after their menstrual cycles. It's compulsory on the women to make a ghusl after the post-birth bleeding. It's compulsory to make a ghusl if someone has a wet dream, and this goes for both the man and the lady, so long as they see the fluid afterwards. And if a person dies, then it becomes compulsory on the Muslims to give that deceased Muslim a ghusl. And when a person accepts Islam, then it's compulsory on them to take a ghusl. And this is the first section of the chapter of ghusl. And when does it become compulsory for a Muslim to make a ghusl? Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I don't know if we had any questions relating to this. Inshallah, we can handle them before we continue.
Just by accident, if a man is lying with his wife, and both of their private parts touch each other, if they're aroused or not aroused, is this
No. If a man is laying with his wife, and the private parts are touching one another, and maybe they're being aroused, then what is the verdict pertaining to this? Everyone has to understand the verdicts that we had and then to apply them to his situation. If a man is laying with his wife and they're rubbing up against one another, if he doesn't enter her, then he doesn't have to make a ghusl. If he enters her, then he has to make a ghusl even if he doesn't come. If he's being aroused, maybe he has a little of that clear slimy fluid, the medhyu, then it will be compulsory on him to make a wash his private part, to wipe the area, and then to make a wudu. So the man, if he's with his wife, then he has to know what's going on, if he's laying there with her. Is the issue simply the issue of not entering her and just fondling and what have you, and then the medhyu is coming out, the pre-seminal fluid is coming out, or it's not coming out, and if so, he has to make a wudu and to wash his private parts? If not, then there's nothing on him. If he enters her, whether he reaches his peak or not, then it's compulsory on him to make a ghusl, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has explained. If the brothers and sisters from Peace Skills, if they have any questions or comments pertaining to today's class, then inshallah they can mention them now. Or if the brothers from the Dawah Center in Philadelphia, if they have any questions, inshallah they can ask them now.
Turn off the phone, turn off the speakers, you can't hear.
If the brothers from New York or Philly, if they have any questions pertaining to today's class, then please ask them now. Or if there are any comments, please feel free to make them now, inshallah ta'ala. If there's no more questions, though the time is here and we have time to go for more, we said that we wanted to keep, inshallah ta'ala, our fiqh section by section in order that we get the points down, inshallah ta'ala, and understand them and to make sure that we practice them in our lives. And then next week, inshallah ta'ala, we continue. It's not that we're in a rush to just go through the book or to go through the points, but that we want to make sure that we go through them properly, inshallah ta'ala, and that everyone understands so that they can practice them. And also, as I encourage and remind the brothers and the sisters often, that everyone doesn't have the ability to come to the class. And for the people who come, they have to make sure that they pay attention and that they get the points down and that they're not shy. If there's something's not clear, to make sure that they ask so that they can get the points down, and then to pass it on to those people who aren't able to come to the classes when we visit the brothers, or when they come for the salat and we're talking after the salat, or what have you, in the parking lot or in front of the masjid, that when we're talking we can get a chance to explain some of these points to the community, as the spreading of this knowledge isn't just going to come from one person or one book. It's going to come from the Muslims who pay attention and learn the verdicts of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pertaining to this deen, and then to pass it on. So this is what we wanted to offer today from Imam Ash-Shawkani's statement rahimahullah, the chapter of making a ghusl. And the first section, when does it become compulsory to make a ghusl? And he says it becomes compulsory to make a ghusl when the fluid comes out by a desire or simply just a thought. And this is for the man and the woman. And when a man has relations with his wife, when he enters her, whether he reaches his peak or not, that they must both take a ghusl. When the lady's menstrual cycle is over, she must take a ghusl. After the post-birth bleeding, she must take a ghusl. Whoever has a wet dream and sees the fluid is wet afterwards, then they have to make the ghusl, whether it's a man or a lady. And at the time of death, it's compulsory on the Muslims to give a ghusl to the deceased. And whoever accepts Islam, it becomes compulsory on him to make a ghusl. This is what we wanted to offer today. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And next week, inshallah, we'll come to how to make the ghusl, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.